Could we turn, please, to Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, where we're reading this morning. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, and we'll break into the chapter at verse 29, and we'll read through to verse 39. Mark chapter 1, and we'll commence reading at verse 29. Let us hear the word of the Lord. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. He said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. Amen. We'll end that reading at verse 39, and we trust the Lord will bless it to our hearts. Let's unite together in prayer and seek his blessing. And you ask the Lord to speak to you, to instruct you, to guide you, to thrill your heart again. Maybe you have never yet heard the voice of God as a sinner in this meeting tonight. Well, you pray that the Lord will speak to you in a definite way, in a particular way, and that you would hear the call of God tonight, even for the first time. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, again we thank Thee that we have read the word of the Lord. And as the Scriptures would say, that he that have ears to hear, let him hear what the Lord saith. Lord, we believe this book to be Thy Word. And Lord, we come and we pray that You would grant us aid in the preaching of the Gospel. We pray, O Father, that You would prepare hearts. We pray that the Word of God would have free course and that it would be glorified. We pray for every hindrance and every barrier, that it would be removed from the hearts of men and women. We pray, O God, in Jesus' name, that You would bind the strong man. We thank Thee, O God, for that day that Christ spoke unto the scribes, when He spoke about a stronger than Satan that was among them, one that was able to bind the strong man and spoil his goods, to deliver men and women from the power and the bondage of Satan. We pray, O God, that we would know and experience the binding of the strong man tonight. We thank Thee that there at Calvary, that Satan was crushed, that he was made a show-off openly. And we thank Thee, O Heavenly Father, that we step into the victory of the cross and the blood. And Lord, now I ask for the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Empty me of self and sin. And wash me in the blood of the Lamb. And Lord, I am a candidate for the infilling of God the Holy Ghost. And I pray, O Father, that You would speak through me tonight. Remember Thine own dear children. We pray, O God, that they would be comforted. We pray, O God, that they would be, Lord, enraptured and enthralled with the Gospel once again. And for those that are cold and indifferent, and those that are careless, O God, that You'll bring them again into that right relationship with Thee. And fellowship, O God, they would stop walking afar off. Pray for those that are unsaved. Be merciful to them and speak to their hearts. May the effectual call come to them. For we pray this in Jesus' name and for our Savior's glory. Amen. Now we come again to the first gospel, or the first chapter of Mark's gospel. And in this portion that we have read the healing of Simon's mother-in-law. The miracles were not only a demonstration and a vindication that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, but they are instructive emblems of spiritual truth. In miracles, we see pictures and types of what the Lord does spiritually within the hearts of men and women and young people, not only in salvation, but in restoration and sanctification. Sometimes for us, as well as those in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, spiritual truth to be more clearly seen, to be more clearly discerned, often needed to be backed home or expressed by a miracle. Christ's miracles, they are like mirrors in which you and I see spiritual truth set forth in the gospel. There is a painting in one of the Roman palaces, one of the palaces in Rome. It is a 1614 painting called Aurora by Rennie. And it adorns the ceiling of that wonderful palace there. But it causes men great pain to look up at that ceiling. It causes a tweak in their net that they cannot look upon that ceiling for any length of time to really delve into the beauty and the splendor and the workmanship and the craftsmanship of the painter that painted that ceiling. If there was no other way to view it, it would be difficult for men to understand the wonder and the splendor of it. But in that palace, they have placed mirrors around the building. And so men at their leisure and women can gaze at these mirrors without getting a sore neck, and they can discover the beauty and the splendor that is above them. And that's really what a miracle is like. It is that mirror that reflects to us the wonder that God does in the hearts and the souls of men and women. Again, Mark's gospel, it moves at pace. Mark, as I said this morning, it is the book of deeds. It's a book of action. It's a book of works. And again, it moves at great pace because we read in verse 29, and forthwith or immediately, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew. Now, what a morning it had been in the synagogue. The Savior, he stood up and he taught those that were gathered, taught them as one that had authority and not like the scribes. Then there was the casting out of the demon by the authoritative word of Christ. But the day was not finished yet, not by a long shot. The Savior entered into the house of Simon Peter, and there Christ would deal with the individual. And from there, he would deal with the multitudes. And tonight I want to consider that miracle, the miracle of Christ touching this woman, Simon Peter's mother-in-law. I want to think about the touch of the Master. And we're going to think about the mother-in-law, the miracle, and the multitudes. Now, the first thing I want to think about, or the first individual, is the mother-in-law. The Lord didn't only perform for the crowds, but here, he ministers to one person in a private home. And Christ was more interested in meeting the needs of individuals than pleasing the crowd and promoting himself. He didn't need the power or popularity of the crowd to help his ministry. But Christ entered into this home of Simon Peter, and it tells us in verse 30, but Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. You know, near and dear as Peter was to the Lord Jesus Christ, he was not exempt from the troubles and trials of this life. Sickness had come into his home. Sickness had grasped his mother-in-law. There was that trial, that affliction, that burden. And so near and dear as children of God are to Jesus Christ, it does not exempt us from things coming into our home. Trials, difficulty, death, sickness. All these things, they come to the child of God. But we read here that Christ, he came into this house. And we don't face those trials alone. In this verse, it proves beyond doubt that Peter was married. And according to present-day Roman Catholicism and their standards for the priesthood, Peter wasn't even qualified to be a priest, never mind the first pope. So we can discard that. Peter was an apostle of Jesus Christ. And there is no such thing as apostolic succession, no matter what Rome teaches. But here's Christ, and he comes into this home. And let us think about this woman's condition. You know, we glean from the other Gospels, and they supplement to build the whole scene of the serious condition that this woman was in. Fevers were prevalent in that Galilean region. In the heat of the summer and the autumn, it would act upon the marshes and the swampy plains, and so would rise up insects and bite and infect many individuals. And this woman had a fever. Luke, who is described in Colossians 4 and 14 as a beloved physician, he describes it professionally. And he calls it a great fever. A violent fever had taken hold of her. She was in the grasp of this fever. Matthew and Mark, they say that she was lying down. This woman was in a serious condition. It had taken hold of her. The fever was burning and raging within her body, and she was held captive to it. She was stricken with inability. She couldn't help others, never mind helping herself. And before us we have a spiritual type set. It is the spiritual disease of sin. And men and women and young people are held captive to the burning fever of sin that rages in their bodies. It permeates to every part of their constitution. It's infected by the fever of sin. Emotions, affections, intellect, motives, understanding, actions, words, thoughts. Sin permeates every part of man's constitution. We could say maybe not to the same degree, but to the same extent. Oh, you might be in this house tonight, and you might think to yourself, well, I'm not as bad as someone else, and there's someone else that doesn't come here. But you know, the Bible tells me that you are infected by sin in every faculty of your constitution. Your understanding has been darkened, and you're dead to God. This woman, she had inability. She was lying upon a bed. And so sinners are stricken with inability. The Scripture describes them as being dead, being without strength. And there's not a sinner that has the ability of themselves to please the Lord or even to help themselves towards salvation. I'm struck in that Psalm 85 that we read. It speaks of the Lord, thou hast, thou wilt, thou hast done. Salvation is of the Lord. Therefore, sinners like this woman were in a serious predicament. The Bible teaches us that this woman was at the very point of death. And for all I know, sinner, you could be at the very point of eternal death. Now you're already spiritually dead. You're dead to God. But you could be at the very point of eternal death. Dying physically and then forever separated from God. We thought about her condition, but think about their petition. In verse 30, it tells us there, and anon they tell him of her. Encouraged by what the disciples had seen that morning in the synagogue and what they experienced themselves hearing the call of God, these disciples had hope that Christ was both able and willing to heal this woman. And you and I that are saved, we have good grounds for hope. The great physician that has healed our sin-sick soul is both able and willing to save and to heal others of their spiritual sin. There are some characteristics that you and I can learn from their petition. Firstly, they were direct and prompt in their petition of the Lord. For it tells us there, and anon, And that's what that word means. It means directness and promptness. As soon as Christ came into the house, they made the need known unto him. They didn't beat about the bush. They got to it. They got to prayer. They got to asking the Lord to help this woman. In Scripture, there is promptness and prayer set before us. We think of Peter as he began to sink and he cried out, "Lord, save me." Think of Nehemiah before the king. And the king asked him what was his request, and it tells us, "So I prayed to the God of heaven and said." We can at times be prompt in our prayers with God, and we can lift up our hearts and cry, "Lord, save that individual. Lord, be merciful unto them." There's something else. They told him. They told Christ of her. They brought their burden to him. See, you and I need to remember the person of Jesus Christ. Remember, he is the God-man. And the Lord knows the end from the beginning. And the Savior knew who was in that house. And the Savior knew what he would do for that lady. But still, they had a responsibility to tell him of her. And the Lord knows those whom he will save. And the Lord knows the end, and none for whom Christ has died will ever be lost. But we, as God's children, still have a responsibility to tell him of her. Have you fulfilled your responsibility in praying for your loved ones? Have you brought them to the feet of Jesus Christ and laid your burden before him? But something else. It tells us in Luke's account that they besought him. They were earnest in their entreaty. And they beseeched the Lord. The word besought, it is an aorist tense. It means a one-time action completed in the past. And this shows us that the Savior was willing to heal. It wasn't that they were going on and on and on and on at the Lord and trying to bend his arm up his back to try and get him to do something against his will. But they besought him once, and the Savior obliged, and the Savior healed her. The Lord is willing. The Lord is willing to answer our prayers and delights to answer our prayers that are in accordance to his will. It's not like we're there trying to put his arm up his back. But he's willing. He's willing to hear and answer our prayers. Now there is time for that continuance and perseverance in prayer. But in this example, we see that they besought him and he healed. And that's what we're going to look at secondly, the miracle. Matthew Henry said, "Wherever Christ comes, he comes to do good." And he came to this home with the purpose of performing a miracle. Look at verse 31. "And he came, and he took her by the hand, and he lifted her up." Again, in the other gospel accounts, we have more details supplied. On hearing their petition and seeing the woman in great need, the Savior drew near to her. We read in Luke's account that he came and he stood by her head. We have a Lord and a Savior that draws near. He's not a God that is far off, but he comes near by his Spirit. And although Luke is the beloved physician, Christ, he is the great physician, the sympathizing Savior that seeks to draw near unto sinners and heal them of their sin. But let's think about his touch. Matthew, it tells us that in that account that he touched her hand, but Mark tells us that he took her by the hand. And Luke tells us that he rebuked the fever, and sometimes the Lord, he healed by a touch, sometimes he healed by a spoken word, sometimes he healed by both. the Savior held the hand of this woman. And he held her hand to give life. Because Adam, from the woman's hand, had received death. Christ came to this woman, and he held her by the hand to give her life. But Adam, he received death from the woman's hand, and Christ is the last Adam. He has come to undo all that the first Adam did by the fall. Christ, he does not refrain from personal conduct or contact. He's interested in the individual. He's interested in you tonight. Oh, we'll hear later on how he was interested in the multitudes, but he's interested in the individual. And he's drawing near to you tonight by his Spirit. And he's seeking to heal you of your sin. He is a Savior close at hand. He is a prayer away. And he took her by the hand and he lifted her up. And the Scripture tells us that when Christ, he lays his hand upon someone and he spiritually heals them, that we're raised together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Christ never leaves someone in the pit of their sin. He raises them out of their sin. He elevates them. And he causes them to become heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. His touch, but what about her transformation? Look at verse 31. Again, and it tells us, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. You see, by his touch, he restored her immediately to health and strength. Now, normally, after a time of fever, after a time of flu, there is a period of convalescence. There is a period of rest and recuperation. But here we see the supernatural power of God. And he touched her, and immediately she was restored to full health and strength, and she ministered unto them. Christ's touch and salvation, it is immediate. Those that are touched by him and healed by him are saved immediately and for all eternity. This lady was transformed by the touch of Christ. From one lying on her sickbed to one laboring for her Savior. And anyone that is touched by Christ is changed by Christ. That's what the Scripture clearly teaches. The Savior does not save someone and let them live a life of sin and reckless rebellion and disobedience to the Word of God. He changes them. And this woman was transformed. She was grateful for what had happened to her, and she ministered unto them. The recipients of Christ's grace, they're always grateful. And they express that gratitude in a practical way, because the saints of God are saved to serve. And I wonder, are you serving Christ? Have you been transformed? I'm sure there were things that this lady had to do, things she had to leave off. And this period of sickness and fever had grabbed her, but she left them to the side, and she ministered unto others first when she was restored. Maybe here I could give a little word to the ladies of the congregation and the service of women. Now, there are a few women that are called to public service. And what we mean by that is the mission work. To work publicly for the Lord. But this woman's work here, it was just common work. And it had to do with the physical wants and the physical needs of the Master and his disciples. See, woman can work for the poor as Dorcas did. Woman can work like the elect lady in 2 John and lead their children in the way of righteousness. Woman can minister unto the Lord's disciples as they come in to his home. Someone said that some can speak for Christ. Some can sing for Christ. but more still can smile for Christ. Willing hands will not remain long idle if wedded to thoughtful hearts and observant eyes. And here, this lady, she was touched by Christ, she was transformed, and she got up and she ministered unto the Savior. That was the miracle. But finally, let's consider the multitudes. Well, the day was not over. For though the natural sun had set, the Sun of Righteousness had arisen with healing in his wings, morning, noon, and night, the Lord Jesus Christ, he worked. Let's look at verses 32 and 33. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. It's a wonderful scene here. I want you to picture this in your mind. The home that had welcomed Jesus Christ and where he had wrought his healing touch became a place of hospitality where others would be touched by Christ. Is your home a place of hospitality? Is your home a welcoming place where others that are wrecked and ruined by sin, are they welcome in your house? This is where Christ performed a multitude of miracles. Now it takes time for word to spread. And the event of the healing of Peter's mother-in-law, it was a private event, a private healing, and there was only those few individuals that had seen it. But there was multitudes in the synagogue that morning that had seen Christ cast out the demon. And so as word was spreading, and the sun had set, and the restrictions placed upon the people for travel on the Sabbath day was removed, the scribes and Pharisees, they put that burden upon the people, but now it was removed. That legal blockage was removed, and suddenly a multitude of people came flooding to the door of Simon Peter's house. All manner of people, afflicted with all types of infirmities and diseases and illnesses and sickness, possessed by devils. And Spurgeon, he said, what a mass of misery filled the city of Capernaum that night. The whole city was turned into a hospital. All the town had come out, either to be healed or to watch what was going on. And I want you to picture that in your mind. Picture a simple fisherman's hut in a little bustling town of Capernaum. And the whole city comes together to the door. And I want you to think about the line of all the infirmed, and all the lame, and all the halt, and all the maimed, and the blind, and the demon-possessed. And they're lining up on the side of the house. And they're filing down, and they're looking anxiously, and they're looking eagerly and expectantly, and they're looking down the line, and they see Christ touch an individual. And can you see them? Can you see that individual that's touched, and they're walking from the house of Simon Peter, leaping and praising the Lord? And you think, if you're standing in that line, and you're maybe covered in leprosy, or you're possessed by a demon, or you're paralytic, and you're looking down the line and you're seeing this man touch the hand, or touch an individual, or speak by a word, and suddenly these people are changed. What a night that must have been. You think of those four men that were called earlier on in the chapter to be the disciples of Jesus Christ. Simon, Andrew, James, and John, standing there watching this individual, the Lord of glory, touch people and being healed like that. Well, they're glad they left and followed the Lord. And I believe that that's what revival would be. Do you not long for it? Do you not long for the days that men and women will flock to the house of God and long for him to touch them and to heal them and to save them. We would just be bystanders. Just like Simon and Andrew, James and John. Oh, for a little reviving. Oh, that Christ would come and touch the multitudes that are sick in their sin. The Spirit would come and make them sick off their sin. What a long and exciting day it had been. Can you imagine the thoughts of those four fishermen as they lay down at bed in bed that night? They ran over the thoughts and the events of the day. I'm sure they didn't sleep much that night. I'm sure they were amazed at this man, Jesus Christ. They must have thought and wondered what would happen when the sun would rise and usher in another day. They had no regrets in following the Savior. And now they were experiencing abundant life. See, Christ always enriches the quality of men's lives. It tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:5 that in everything ye are enriched by him. And these men had seen mighty deeds done that day. And these miracles, they are instructive emblems of spiritual truth. We looked at the mother-in-law. And we've seen her condition, how the fever, it raged within her body and she was stricken with inability, and how sin permeates every part of them. And they can do nothing to please God. They can do nothing to save themselves. But then we thought about the miracle and the touch of the Master. And how he was near her. And how he was willing and able to raise her to her full health and strength, and how she was transformed and then ministered unto them. And then it led to the multitudes coming to that house. And that house was a base from which the Savior touched many a life. I wonder, is it an individual? And sin has gripped your life, and it rages within every member. Wonder, do you long for the touch of the Master? See, Jesus Christ, he came and he lived a sinless life. And he offered up his life as an atoning sacrifice unto God. And on the cross, not only did he offer his life as a sacrifice, but he took the penalty and the punishment for sin. And though sin may rage in every member of your body, Christ can cleanse you of it. His blood can make you whiter than snow. And he can heal your sin-sick soul. I trust that tonight that you would call upon him while he is near and seek him while he is to be found. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Let's ask his blessing upon his word tonight. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the miracles that are recorded in thy word and thy truth. They are emblems of spiritual truth. And we thank thee that our Savior is able to touch the life that has the fever of sin raging within their members. At their very point of death, O God, that are stricken with inability. We thank thee that your word says that while we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And I pray, Father in heaven, that, Lord, that you would draw near unto sinners this night. We pray, O Father, that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, would lay his healing touch upon them and cleanse them from the malady and the sickness of their sin. That men and women and young people would be transformed, that their lives would be changed, that they would be saved to serve. Lord, we long for that day. We long for that day of a revival. We long for a little reviving in the midst of the years. We long for the day that men and women would flock to the house of God. We long that the day that Christ would touch the multitudes and they would leave the house of God rejoicing, knowing that they are never the same again, but that every malady and sickness and every possession of demon or whatever it might be, oh God, would be healed by the great physician. Oh Lord, we pray that the word of God would live on and what's been sown in weakness, oh Lord, would be raised in power. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.